Let's talk about electric vehicles, because for the first time, someone thought to test if they are safe on the road, and they found out they're not. This is crazy.
Way to get
they
started.
They figured out that electric vehicles may not stop at these guardrail barriers. Now, I'm wondering, why are we just finding this out now? Researchers say this was a first of its kind crash test, and that gives me pause. Because they've been on the road for over a decade or two. Why did no one think to ask, how do they handle guardrails on the actual road? Like, who greenlit them then if this is the first of the kind? So here is what is better late than never. The University of Nebraska and the U.S. Army conducted tests, quote, to better understand whether currently used guardrails and U.S. military protection measures against hostile vehicles are prepared for the growing number of EVs. So what they're trying to do is see how EVs handle guardrails, that because thousands of people die each year from more than 100,000 runoff crashes. So, you know, the military might put up the guardrails, or the National Highway Association. They want you to stop if you get out of control. If you hit an ice patch, or you get into, like, some kind of game of chicken, you run off the road, you're supposed to hit those guardrails and stop, not go over a cliff or go over a bridge. Yeah, go ahead.
Did they say in that study how many of the cars in that study were electric at the time they did it?
No, they didn't. How many cars of these deaths?
Yeah.
How many? We don't know exactly how many of these deaths, or at least I don't know. Maybe that exists. So again, the guardrails are designed to stop you from going over a bridge or a cliff. But do they stop EVs? Well, watch this 7,000 plus pound 2022 Rivian R1T electric truck hit a barrier at 60 miles per hour, and you decide if the guardrails stop them or not. Okay.
It's a resounding no. Look at all that.
No. Nope. That was not a success. Guardrail fail.
Because I was just about to say, they're going right straight through it. So what's going to stop something going right straight through it? But then you had that one that went sideways, right?
This is sensationalization. It clearly does eventually stop.
It does eventually stop. You know. Yeah. Now imagine Thelma and Louise. There's no triple barrier there of cement right there. They're going all the way down that cliff.
Right. It eventually stops because there's more road. Imagine there's a cliff on the other side or a bridge.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
To know if they shut off any features, if it was fully like all the automation and autonomy was on at that time. Like, do we get any of that data?
Well, I don't know, but who cares about that? Not like shooting you down, but that doesn't change the weight at all, right? It doesn't change the weight of these things, right? I mean,
but my car specifically, my car has a self-driving mode. And if I go anywhere, like if I kind of veer off to the right, it pulls me back onto the road. If there's a guardrail, if there's anything like that. So I'm saying, there's sensors on the side of those cars. So, like, were those off? Were those on? Like,
well, they would have to, because you're deliberately driving these for the test purposes, right?
Right.
So they used a standard barrier mode of made of steel and anchored with 8 to 12 inch blockouts. They say that this was tested to great success with gas powered cars, but never with EVs. And I'm just thinking, why? Why has this never been tested? Take a look here what they say. They say this MSG has been tested with small cars weighing up to 2,400 pounds and pickups that weigh 5,000 pounds. We're talking here, what we just watched was a 7,000 pound car. So up until now, little has been known about how the system will perform in crashes involving EVs, which typically weigh 20 to 50% more with lower centers of gravity. And again, I'm just worried that it's the year 2024 and no one's thought to look into this yet.
So
how will they solve this problem? Well, they say we need to improve the barriers throughout the whole country, throughout the whole U.S. It's going to be necessary to re-examine the design of roadside barriers, even beyond EVs. It's critical and timely. Go ahead.
I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is that I think they've already solved it with all the automations that are in those vehicles. That's why I was wondering how many of the tests of deaths have been electric cars, because if there are not any, and there may be some, but if there aren't any, then those safety features are already in place by the autonomy that's in those vehicles to stop automatically, to avoid barriers, to avoid the edge of the road and things like that.
But you can't if you're hydroplaning, or if you're on ice, or if someone has pushed you.
Right, you get hit by another car, car hits you and spins you off.
We're talking about extreme situations. You can't stop on ice. So, the point is that these are supposed to stop you in extreme circumstances is what I'm pointing out. Basically,
you're not supposed to be hitting them. And so if you are, something has gone wrong.
Yes.
And therefore they should stop you.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And you're not supposed to fly up in the air. You know, you have to think about, you have your family in there. And so these are designed to stop cars. Do they stop electric vehicles? Maybe they don't. And no one thought to test until now. Right. But as a taxpayer, do you want to pay for retrofitting all American roads for electric vehicles, given that this might be a problem? Well, you might want to wait on that, given the fact that EVs are just not selling well. In fact, in November, a group of about 4,000 car dealerships sent a letter to President Biden begging him to tap the brakes on electric vehicle mandates because the EVs are just sitting on the lot. Here is Tom Maioli, one of the dealers who signed this letter, explaining it to CNBC.
And this is basically the voice of the consumer. This is not the dealer. This is the voice of the consumer. And what's happening is the manufacturer is being forced to produce these EVs. They're shipping them to the dealerships and they're backing up on the lots. You know, our average day supply pre-COVID was 60 to 90 days supply of inventory. During COVID, it was less than 30 because of the supply chain issues. We're now backed up to 12 months with EVs. Consumers don't want them. They're not buying them. We have up to $15,000 in rebates from the manufacturer and $7,500 tax credits. We're talking $22,500.
All right. The host goes on to say that he saw a brand new F-150, an electric one, with 25 miles on it, marked down to $7,000. Brand new F-150. But because it was electric, no one was buying it. That's a $20,000 discount. So, okay, about EVs. They're super inconvenient.
So we should point out something really on that point. What you're going to see then is you're going to see a surge in sales as a result of these things being marked down below other priced cars. So people are going to be like, wow, they're so cheap. I might as well just go buy one.
I don't think so. That's what this guy said is not happening.
All I'm saying is be prepared, because if we do see that, then what you'll see is a bunch of headlines in the media like electric car sales surge. Right. On discounts.
Exactly.
And you're going to see a bunch of mainstream media articles like that.
Right. Well, we've shown you here how they're super inconvenient. They're not good for the planet. In fact, we know that they are made with more rare earth minerals than gas-powered cars. And those minerals, such as cobalt, are mined in horrific ways. So we know that's terrible for the environment. We know that in places that use coal power, EVs increase pollution because you're charging them on coal or diesel. Take a look at this video that went viral over the weekend where a police vehicle in France, sure, it's an EV, being charged with a diesel generator.
Is that like, I mean, that just sums it up right there. A police electric vehicle. And this is what they're going to need for these buses. They want to have a full, can you run that again, Philip, if you missed that? I don't know if people saw that or not, real quick. But yeah, this is a police truck, electric, being powered with a diesel generator.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's crazy town. Now, okay, and maybe they're less safe too, apparently, based on some new studies. And we've shown you before, they have battery fires, that can be dangerous. So this is the kind of discussion that earned us a place on the list of new climate deniers that the Center for Countering Digital Hate used Mark Ruffalo recently to call out. They say that climate deniers can't deny the changing planet anymore, so instead they deny green solutions. He posted this video last month, and the website that he links to has a list of new deniers, and redacted is one of them. Watch.
Big Oil has a new playbook, but we're on to it. More than ever before, we see climate disasters happening all around us. The climate crisis is now undeniable, and that's a big problem for Big Oil. So now instead of getting their internet goons to deny climate change, they're getting them to deny something else. They're going after the solutions we need to transition to a safer future, like renewable energy and electric vehicles, and they're waging personal attacks against accomplished scientists. How do we know this? The Center for Countering Digital Hate has analyzed thousands of hours of climate-denying talking points on YouTube. Researchers found that Big Oil has found a new way to manipulate the public. Make no mistake, Big Oil is doing this because they know we're winning. They're getting their asses handed to them. Let's keep winning and let's keep spreading the truth about climate change. Share this video and go to counterhate.com to learn more.
All right, so it's climate hate we are guilty of when we talk about how EVs maybe not are good, are not a good solution for the planet. He says, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's funny that they say all that and don't, unless your house is like fitted with like 100% solar that can provide all your energy, you're still plugging that into the grid. It's still 100% dependent on the grid.
Right. Yeah. Like your jungle there. So
he's like at a rainforest cafe.
<I know. laughs> We can't ignore the bird talking. He says
it's like a monkey's going to throw his something at you in a minute.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this idea that anyone who questions green solutions is funded by Big Oil, and we're on that list. We have never taken money from Big Oil. So how do they know this? They don't. They're lying to you because they don't want you to do any math on the fact that EVs might not be a good thing for the planet.
Jumanji, go ahead.
It's not even that we don't take money from Big Oil. We have no connection or conversation with them. Like, they're not steering the narrative of Redacted because we don't communicate with them.
I don't know anybody in Big Oil.
I don't.
No, I mean,
I know the guy at the gas station, but that's not it. He's not influencing me.
Right.
I know that everything in my house comes from oil. Like everything is in has some form of petroleum involved in it. Everything from shoes to the jackets we wear to everything in our house is that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just full of lies. They told lies about people like us because we just want to understand, oh, if we're all in on something like a Category 6 hurricane or electric vehicles, is anybody going to get hurt by this? Is maybe this not the right solution? Just because you told me so in your climate Bible and you expect religious fanaticism around climate change. You know, for me, I don't want to get killed in an EV if it's less safe. I don't want it to, you know, mess up my schedule by having to charge all the time in a way that's creating more pollution. And I don't want to contribute to people dying in the Congo in holes like this, which they do all the time. This is an actual mining hole in the Congo. People get buried alive there to mine for cobalt, which runs our electric vehicles. And then the runoff from these types of mines poisons the waters of these local communities. I want to say you are a new denier. If you deny that this is a problem and that EVs are the solution, maybe it's not a problem for your charmed life if you're an Avenger. But you have to think about how EVs affect everyone, even people who look like this. So this new denier segment brought to you not by Big Oil, just someone who won't buy into something because it's got a green label. Let us know what you think of this in the chat.
Yeah. And if you want to compare the number, the amount of minerals that are in an electric car versus a traditional car, it's through the roof. I mean, it's night and day difference, the amount of precious minerals that you'll find inside of an electric car versus good old gas-powered car. You know, if you think about what you're doing for the environment, Mark Ruffalo.
Well, and there's not a sustainable, good way that I've seen any of the minerals mined for these things. Like, show me a mineral that is mined in an ethical way.
That is something, when we spoke to the author of Red Cobalt, Siddharth Kara, I did ask him, is there a better way to do this, specifically cobalt? Because anything we plug in is so dependent on cobalt, your cell phone, but electric vehicles have really driven up the demand for cobalt. And he said, I don't really know. But the United States does want to mine for things in a better way. They do have ways to mine for other elements without the runoff into the community.
Oh, sure. In Indonesia, for instance, it's a horror show about the way that they mine nickel in Indonesia and the sedimentation that falls down into the waters. You can absolutely do that by cleaning up and further refining it, so all of that runoff doesn't go into the waterways and poison those individuals. Of course you can do that. And it just requires a little bit more of preventing all the leaching that's happening there and making sure that that process is contained and protected.
Right.
So, well,
and I wonder if those processes never get put in place because they know that that would be an additional cost to the end consumer. So it's like, well, we can't really put that money into making it better because then the consumer is going to have to pay for it and they won't buy the product if it's that much more expensive.
That's not true. It doesn't work out that way. And most of the any electronic makers plead deniability. Read the book Red Cobalt by Siddharth Kara, and you'll see exactly how they don't even pay them an hourly wage. In mines in the United States and other regions, mine workers get paid a guaranteed minimum wage, and they don't in most of these places. And so, you carry around a blood diamond basically with your cell phone and your electric vehicles is just making this so much worse. And so to just say, oh, if you're against electric vehicles, you have climate hate, you're a new denier, is incredibly ignorant and racist and classist. So I reject that. But if you want to call me a new denier because of it, I'll wear the label. Sure.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.